Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the 18-wheeler of free speech. It's an 18-wheeler, and you know what an 18-wheeler is? Well, I'll tell you what the cab is. It is a moving barricade, and if you got a trailer on it, too, wow, that is a massive mobile barricade with its own little living quarters, and that's what we need right now. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and keep on trucking. Also, go to nationalbugle.com and download the Kosher Certified app, because you don't want to be kosher certified. You don't want your food to be kosher certified. You don't want your country to be kosher certified. All right, today we've got with us Cato. Cato, welcome to the show.
Well, happy President's Day, everybody.
Is that what it is? Is it a holiday?
Yeah.
We get the day off?
Well, some people do. Not that President's Day really means much anymore, especially considering we don't have a president. We have a puppet, but not a president.
Hey, who do you think is the closest thing we have to a president right now?
What do I think is the closest thing we have?
Yeah, who? Is there an individual that you could name?
Well, I mean, in terms of like what a president used to be, none really.
Who do you think, and this is a question, who do you think is the most powerful person in the American government?
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, I know what race he is, but as to which one is the most powerful, well, that is yet to be determined.
Is it a collective presidency?
Possibly, in fact, probably, yes. I would say it would have to be either between, let's see, what's the Jew, what's his name, the chief of staff?
Ron Klain? That's what David Duke says. He votes for Ron Klain.
Yeah, him or Blinken or any of the other Jews. One of them, or them collectively. But, we don't have a president.
It's hard to say, because, I mean, you could say Blinken, maybe Blinken is directing the foreign policy. Maybe he's directing this whole Ukraine thing. But what does he have to do with, say, Black Lives Matter or the open borders? I mean, the open borders, that's going to be Alejandro Mayorkas, and to also perhaps Merrick Garland, a.k.a. Garfinkel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a Jewish Secretary of Treasury. I mean, there's a lot of Jews, and you got the... So it's hard to say. Is there an individual who is the most powerful, or is it just a bunch of Jews?
I think the more important question, too, would be, does it really matter?
Yeah. Well, I'm asking. I mean, here we are 11 months into the fake Biden presidency, and, the question, does it really matter? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, either way, whether one of them is actually in charge or not, or whether they all share collective rulership, we're screwed either way. But yeah,
right. But is there hope?
Well, not here. There's not hope. There might be hope overseas, namely across the Pacific Ocean, but not here.
Well, how about in Canada? Is there hope? Because here's the question: you got the Trump's erection, and then you've got the crackdown by Trudeau, who apparently, I guess, is he counting on Canadians to rally around the flag? I mean, rally around the flag.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how it's going to go there. I mean. The faggot Trudeau just made his exercise his dictatorial powers, his despotic powers rather. What is it? These emergency powers are the first time in all of Canada history that they've been used, and nothing like this has ever happened before. To where essentially the federal government of Canada, if that's what they're called, has absolute power to crack down on anybody. For any reason, just martial law.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a dictator. He's trying to be a dictator, but he sucks. You know what you call a dictator who sucks?
A faggot.
Or a sucks dictator.
Right. Oh, Jeez, that's, yeah.
I'm sorry. Is that inappropriate? Actually, it is inappropriate. And I try to keep it classy, at least when I'm with Jeremy. But anyway.
I just can't help it sometimes. It just is what it is, yeah. It's, yeah, I mean, of course, I just call him a despot because a dictator, to me, a dictator is somebody who the Western left doesn't like, you know, like they'll call people, like I'm sure they would call us a dictator if we, you know, were in positions of power. They call people like Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida a dictator because he's refusing to go along with their vaccine passport mandates, you know. They call President Lukashenko a dictator because same thing, and then some other stuff too, because he stands up for his nation. They call President Putin and President Xi Jinping a dictator because, well, they're not going along with the liberal New World Order. So a dictator to me is just the way it's become to be known as is somebody who the Western liberal doesn't like. Just like an anti-Semite is somebody who a Jew doesn't like. A dictator is someone who the Western liberal doesn't like.
I got a question.
But I'm a despot. A despot doesn't just rules according to his passions.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, and I know you've got some stuff prepared, but I want to ask this question. So, on the Jeff Rentz show a few days ago, there was a military analyst named Mitchell Henderson, who I'm not particularly familiar with, but I listened to the show upon recommendation. And, you know, this is somebody who, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I would assume he's in his 60s or 70s or something, just from the tenor of his voice. And he's somebody who, I guess, spent 28 years in the military, was in military intelligence. So he's got certain boomer attributes. He's got certain military or ex-military attributes. But, you know, he's somebody who is familiar with military intelligence. And he was doing, like, a whole kind of, like, military analysis of the situation, primarily in Ukraine, but also China. And, you know, with Ukraine, he's talking about when typically the ground is most frozen and that the Russian cavalry, which is, you know, cavalry today, I don't even know if you use the word cavalry, but, like, the Russian tank cavalry is of lighter weight than the NATO tanks, and therefore bad weather is good for them, and, you know, mud is good for them, and things like that. And he's doing this analysis and saying that they may decide that, well, I guess here's his basic thesis. The basic thesis was that the West is really weak right now, and it's a really prime time to attack Ukraine, for Putin to attack Ukraine when everything's muddy, when it's not frozen, when the opponent's tanks are going to get caught in the mud and yours aren't. That Xi Jinping would have wanted Vladimir Putin to wait until the Olympics are over. Well, they just ended. And, of course, Xi Jinping, and here's the part I wanted to ask you about, that Xi Jinping would he would want to retake Taiwan at the same time that stuff's going on in Ukraine. That would just be the most opportune time. That Xi Jinping, he is facing, the end of his second five-year term as chairman of the Communist Party. Later this year, and needs to deliver on Taiwan. There's pressure, otherwise hardliners may decide not to reelect him. You know, this guy, like, and I'm sure he knows how much tanks weigh and things like that, as far as, like, military analysis goes. As far as political analysis, I don't know it. Because here's the thing. He was on the Jeff Rentz show for, you know, 45, 50 minutes, and he never once said the word Jews. He didn't say anything about Jewish power. And if you're on the Jeff Rentz show, you are free to talk about Jewish power. You are free. You were free to roam about the cabin. And he didn't. But instead he was talking about Putin was installed as a puppet, not a puppet of the Jewish oligarchs, because he initially was installed as a puppet of the Jewish oligarchs, but a puppet of the Democratic Party.
Wait, he said that Putin was installed as a puppet of the U.S. Democratic Party?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, in 1999, when he was brought in to try to save the Yeltsin administration. He was. But then, of course, he turned against them. Once he had his own. I think we have the same analysis. He came in as a puppet. Puppet of whom? That's another matter. But he came in as a puppet, got his own base of support, and then turned against the people who put him in there. For me, I would say he came in as a puppet of Jewish oligarchs, but also maybe, you know, international Jewry in general, and then turned against them. But he, you know, he said this was like Clinton and the Democratic Party. So anyway, I'll leave it at that and let you respond. But in particular, do you think there's anything to this idea that Xi Jinping is going to have trouble being reelected if he doesn't retake Taiwan this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty out there what he said about Putin. But, at the end of the day, he's just a theorist and knows no more than we do regarding what China will do. The only people who know what China's going to do or what the CCP is going to do are the members themselves, is President Xi Jinping and his trusted associates themselves. All we could do is theorize, well, this could work, that could work. So,
how firm do you think support is within the Central Committee or whatever the electing body is for Xi Jinping? How firm do you think his support is?
You mean like within the party?
Yeah.
It depends. A lot of people really, really like him, and then you got also traitors who, you know, are trying to overthrow him, and even though he's already, you know, exposed a lot of them and, you know, cracked down on them, but it's it depends. I think as a whole, I think that the party is probably on board with him, but there are obviously opportunists and traitors who have tried to backstab him and outmaneuver, but he's been able to outmaneuver all of them so far. So I have all the confidence in President Xi Jinping.
Short of a Taiwanese declaration of independence, do you think there's any need for him to retake Taiwan this year?
Honestly, no, not really. Taiwan, that's been a topic for many years of how they're going to reunite with China. And I think it's pretty clear that essentially the Chinese people living in Taiwan, a good deal of them are leaning toward that direction after seeing, you know, what this disastrous, U.S. puppet government has done.
Okay. So I'm not trying to badmouth this guy because he knows more about, like, military strategy or military conditions than I do. So I think start listening to him. But if you go an hour on the Jeff Rentz show without mentioning Jews, it means you have blinders. And you don't have to say that the Jews are responsible for everything. You could say people think Jews are responsible for everything, but they aren't. And here's why, and here's who really is responsible, rather than just ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
yeah, talk over you. What were you going to say?
He's at the end of the day, he doesn't really know any more than we do, and we don't really know much either. It's all about what happens there. I mean, our job though, is to make sure to warn people about the ills of, you know, the overlords that rule over us in, you know, our own governments. To make sure that as this liberal expansionist New World Order is imploding, that it doesn't implode on everything and destroy everything in the process.
And by the way, this guy, he wasn't hostile to either China or Russia. He wasn't. He was hostile to the United States not to the United States as an entity, but to the American government. He certainly was. So I'm not saying he was on the wrong side, but I was just saying that, while he knows a lot about certain things, I found, at least in that one show, his analysis to have a giant hole in it. And with that hole, you're not likely to reach the best conclusions. Anyway, I know you had stuff prepared for today. What are we going to be talking about?
So today was the closing ceremony of the Beijing 2022 Olympics. I watched the closing ceremony this morning on CCTV, and it was magnificent. It was very well done, and China did a very, very good job hosting the Olympics. They defied all the warmongering propaganda from the United States, and of them saying, "Oh no, it's bad," and you know they're covering it up and all that nonsense. And but you know the athletes, they went and they saw it for themselves, and they were very, very happy and glad to be in China, and very thankful for the Chinese people.
Hey, I have a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, Taiwan competing under the name China Taipei and using the some variation of the Olympic flag, it won a heap of bronze medals. And I think in terms of overall medals, it was second only to Norway. And, you know, this is an area with a population of, I think, less than 20 million, about 20 million or so. It's a tropical or subtropical island. There's no snow. So what's up with that?
What's up with Taiwan?
Taiwan, I mean, it got more medals, or you know, more medals than Japan or Korea.
Where do you see that? Because I'm not seeing Taiwan on here. I'm looking at it now.
China Taipei or ROC.
ROC is not China Taipei. ROC is Russian Olympic Committee.
Oh! Okay. Because I was saying, what's up with that? Okay, Russian Olympic Committee. Okay.
Because Russia is somehow banned from the Olympics because of, you know, some kind of, you know, drug scandal, but we know why. It's because they don't like Russia.
Okay, that makes sense. I obviously didn't pay any attention to the Olympics, so there you go. All right. Sorry about that.
That's right. But no, the People's Republic of China beat the United States in gold counts in the Olympics, which is, you know, how much time do we have, by the way?
Oh, we have a few more minutes before the break, about two more minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so basically the People's Republic of China beat the United States. I know there were a lot of conservatives, half of them were talking about boycotting the games altogether, and then the other half were talking about, we got to go there and we got to beat China. Well, they didn't do either one, so that's more shame on them. But yeah, China came in third place in terms of the total gold count, after Norway, which was number one at 16, and Germany at 12, which is number two. China came in at nine gold medals, and the United States at eight.
Okay, so, and there was a Chinese-American who won a gold medal.
Yes.
And it's possible, if the United States hadn't been hinting that it would not go to the Olympics and playing that whole game, she might have competed for America, not for China, right?
Exactly. The two of the gold medals were won by the American-born half-Chinese skier Eileen Gu, who was a defector to the People's Republic of China from the American wasteland.
So, I mean, that's what you get if you're going to say, well, maybe we're not going to go. These athletes, especially the young athletes, have worked their entire lives for this opportunity, and then just have it out to say, oh, well, maybe we're not going to go. Maybe we're going to boycott. Well, that's what you get, okay? They got their comeuppance. All right, well, anyway, we are at the break now, so we'll be right back. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendabite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendabite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You know, the point I just made is, had the United States politicians not threatened to boycott, then they very well may have finished ahead of China in the gold medal count. But anyway, it happened the way it happened. I don't know. Is this something people should even care about?
Well, it's just to put things in the perspective. I mean, just seeing how the United States, all these big mouths, these talking heads in the United States, they put they shoot themselves in the foot in regards to this, because I mean, the two talking points were, oh, you know, we need to boycott China because they're hiding something, and if we don't boycott China, we need to beat them in the Olympics, and they failed to do both. And yeah, I mean, of course, losing, you know, one of their, you know, really good athletes to China because of this, you know, babbling and this nonsense about, oh, we're going to boycott, we're not going to boycott. Yeah, I mean, she, and obviously she's half Chinese, so she does identify with her Chinese side a lot. And so she was a defector from the American wasteland to the refuge of the People's Republic of China. And yeah, I'm saying it that way on purpose for all you conservative snowflakes out there who are, you know, crying over this because of your big mouths, and now they're all crying over this. In fact, there's a giant snowflake statue, right, you know, that held the Olympic flame, and yeah, that reminds you of you snowflakes. Actually, no, it doesn't, because y'all aren't important at all. That was a sculpture for the Winter Olympics to signify the snow.
You know, so China didn't even start sending teams to the Olympics. Maybe they had sent teams to earlier Olympics, but the PRC didn't send any teams to the Olympics until when? Like 1980 something?
I think so, yeah. 1980, sometime in the 80s.
And they took it, and once they started, they took it very seriously. And the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc countries during the Cold War took it very seriously. And the Soviet Union, once in terms of overall medal count and in terms of total gold medals, they won Olympics after Olympics. At least during the Cold War era, because I guess it was important for them for propaganda purpose. East Germany, with a size and population equivalent to New York State, used to routinely give the United States a run for its money in everything. But of course, you know, the East German athletes often were on all sorts of steroids. You know, not probably not only them, but they were in particular. So I don't know. And does it really matter? Like, on the one hand, I really chafe at the idea of the Olympics, you know, of countries boycotting the Olympics, or last year Japan having delayed the Olympics by a year, and then, you know, because these people work really, really hard at it, and, you know, it's a long-standing custom. But on the other hand, just like all sports ball, people do get kind of wrapped up a bit too much in it. So those are just my thoughts, not particularly sophisticated.
Yeah, and the only reason why I watched the Olympics is because, well, it's because it's in China. If it was, you know, next 4 years later, it's going to be in somewhere in Milan, Italy. I don't care about those. I'm not going to watch those, but it's just because it's in China. So therefore, you know, I want to see how my own country, how my, you know, ancestral motherland presents to the world. You know, that's one.
Like a lot of countries, like India, for instance, which has as many people as China, and more than three times as many as America, close to four times as many probably. And yet, it doesn't seem to care. It, you know, they might do well in field ball in the Summer Olympics, but there's very, or Indonesia, which also has a huge population, don't really seem to care. And, you know, if you're talking about a huge population, if you cared, you could find people to do well in this sport or that sport. But some countries just don't even seem to care. And for others, it's a really, really big deal.
Well, India is a third world country and is backward and doesn't have any capacity to be able to perform. Whereas China is a first world developed superpower. So,
well, I mean, India, it's launched satellites into space. Right, it's got a huge number of engineers. It's you know, if they cared, they'd be able to find people, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. They've from what I've seen, I mean, their infrastructure has got to be the worst in Asia, and it's they got lots of problems internally, and they still got a long way to go. They got at least 100 years to go before they can catch up to China's level.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm not just saying this because, you know, of the there's no rivalry. There's no match. There's no competition between China and India. I'm just stating the fact.
Yeah. But here's the thing. If you compare China or India of the current year to China of the 1990s, you know, you would have kind of a comparison. And yet China in the 1990s was trying really hard in the Olympics. So, you know, there's
even I think China of the 1990s was still better than India today.
Okay, well, anyway, we are upon the break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Forget the Olympics. What about them truckers?
All right. So, yeah, so we've been talking about more of a lighthearted topic these past 2 weeks, the Olympics. And, you know, that's primarily for health's sake because, you know, with everything that's going on, you have to talk about something lighthearted to, you know, balance out the seriousness. But, yeah, I mean, we are very serious people and we know this struggle is not getting any easier as we're seeing. So, I want to dedicate, first of all, this particular episode to the North American truckers who are standing for the fight for freedom against the liberal tyranny.
Keep on trucking, baby.
North America, exactly. Mm-hmm. And while these Canadian athletes were over there in Beijing having a good time and not worrying about anything and enjoying freedom and taking things for granted and, quite frankly, taking advantage of the warm hospitality of the Chinese people, the truckers were here back at home holding the fort, holding the line against liberal totalitarianism that is just getting worse and worse and worse every day. The truckers were back here at home holding a line so that when these ungrateful athletes from Canada and the U.S., when they return home from Beijing, they don't have to live in, or they don't have to be subjected to such a tyranny when they come back. Whether they go along with the tyranny or not, I don't know every individual one, but that's not the point. The point is these truckers are doing everything they can to fight for, you know, the principles that made North America what it is, a free society.
So at the beginning of the show, I mentioned this guy, Henderson, okay, Mitchell Henderson, and I'm not trying to trash him, not in the least. But, you know, he was referring to what's going on here is in America is communism. We're going communist. And then, you know, you'll have somebody like Tucker Carlson who'll call it fascist. And, well, okay, just dealing with the communist thing first. Communism, and I hate having to repeat this all the time, but the communism that was stable and institutionalized during the Cold War that us boomers grew up being taught to hate, the two main defining features of it. The defining features of it were the state ownership of the means of production and a centrally planned economy. That's what it was. Lots and lots of countries had repression. Lots and lots of countries didn't have fake elections or unreal elections or no elections. Lots of them. In fact, very, very few countries up until, say, the 1980s, very few countries practiced electoral democracy. And so censorship or police brutality or anything else, those were not a defining feature of communist countries. It was a feature that was shared by, you know, the Soviet bloc countries and Maoist China and the various military dictatorships in the Arab world or the South America or a whole bunch of other countries. It was in no way a defining characteristic of communism. And so the thing is, our country, we don't have state ownership of the means of production, and we're not moving in that direction. And we don't have a centrally planned economy, and we're not moving in that direction. What we have, you said it. You said liberal tyranny. And this is liberal, you could call it electoral democracy. This is our democracy tyranny. This is a tyranny, and it is not because we've somehow become communist or we somehow become fascist. We haven't. This is tyranny. Why do we have tyranny in our electoral democracy, in our capitalism? I would say it has an awful lot to do with the fact that we have a ruling class that's dominated by Jews who see the majority white population as a rival and are antagonistic towards it. Just as, like, the worst days of Soviet communism, the worst days, it wasn't during Brezhnev or Khrushchev. It was those first years when they had a primarily Jewish Politburo and Central Committee. It was primarily Jewish, and they saw the ethnic Russians as a rival. And so, it's not that we're experiencing censorship and these other bad policies because somehow we've all of a sudden become communist or fascist. It is because it's a Jewish power play, just as the Bolshevik Revolution was a Jewish power play. That's what I say. And and one of the reasons I push back against it so much is if you call it communism, it's not communism. But you know who else is called communist? China. And it is ruled by a party that is called the Chinese Communist Party. Although, again, what communist country has a stock market? I don't look at China as any more being it's no longer a communist country, according to the definitions that I grew up with. Kick it back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's misleading when people say, oh, it's communism. And then, you know, I'll hear people say, too, oh, it's fascism because of, you know, the merger of corporations and state. Well, actually, the old school fascism of, you know, old Europe was the state putting checks and balances on corporations, not corporations lobbying for politicians.
Yeah, it was more state control of corporations than vice versa. We have corporate control of the state. They had a state-run media. We've got a media-run state.
Yeah, exactly. What we have is neoliberalism or just liberalism, and, you know, and that's exactly what it is. The greatest threat to us here in North America and in Europe is not communism. It's liberalism. Liberalism is the greatest threat, and liberalism is tyrannical. It is violent. It is totalitarian, because liberalism is an unnatural ideology that needs to be, that can only be in, applied by force and violent force and coercion.
I don't know. I mean, can it only be applied by force and coercion? Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't say that, but that it is. It is. If, as we look around us today, it is being held up through violence and coercion. That is an accurate explanation of what's going on around us. I don't know if it has to be.
Mm-hmm. Another term, you know, for people who are, you know, more well-read, liberal Bolshevism. That's another word. That's another thing we can call it, too. It's Bolshevism, but it's liberal Bolshevism as opposed to communist Bolshevism. And Bolshevism just means the Jewish destruction of all that is natural.
So Bolshevism, I don't push back so much against Bolshevism, and Don Black started using that. He started, instead of saying Soviet America or Sovietized America, he started saying Bolshevik America. And to me, the defining feature of, I don't really like the term being used, because the way it's understood by most people is Russian or communist, but when Don Black started using it as opposed to Sovietized America, saying Bolshevikized America, the way he intended it and the way it could be understood is where you've got Jewish ascendancy. So you have, what defined Bolshevik Soviet communism as opposed to Cold War era Soviet communism or even Stalinism was the Jewish near total control, mm-hmm. the Jewish ascendancy. And when Jews were in ascendancy, they implemented the Holodomor, which was the forced collectivization of agriculture, where they were collectivizing agriculture, but also where they were extracting as much, not just surplus agriculture, but even what was needed to sustain the population there. They were just requisitioning that, selling it overseas, and then using the profits to build up industry so that they could fight a war sooner rather than later. That was the whole idea behind the collectivization of agriculture. And it was very brutal. And unfortunately, because even in Russia, you can't really speak freely about Jewish power. And so unfortunately, you've got the Ukrainians blaming ethnic Russians for the Holodomor. And the ethnic Russians, instead of saying, no, it was Jews, they're saying, no, you did it to yourselves. It was like your kulaks or something. So whenever you have a situation where the adverse impacts of Jewish power are going to be scapegoated onto somebody else, whether it's the New World Order, whether it's globalists, whether it's the Democratic Party, whether it's neocons, whether it's whatever, then you're not going to have correct analyses.
Yeah, all goes back to the Jews. That's the root of the cause of it. It all goes back to the Jews.
And if people want to say it's not the Jews, then let them say it's not the Jews. But as long as they can ignore it and there's absolutely no discussion, that's the worst situation. I'd much rather have somebody say, oh no, it's not really the Jews. It's not the Jews because, well, why isn't it? Well, try to explain it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you use facts and explain why it's not the Jews, even though the Jews themselves openly brag about it too, and we have, you know, thousands of sources mm-hmm. that say so. So yeah, it is understanding the Jewish power, and yes, the Jews, they are at the forefront of this, anti-China warmongering narrative too. Is the Jews behind this too? And just Jews everywhere. Everywhere in North America, everywhere in Europe. And yeah, it's the Jews that are behind this liberal tyranny that we're seeing with the vaccine mandates. You know, look at all the CEOs of Pfizer, and, you know, he's a Jew, you know. And then you look how shameless they are, too. You know, I mean, these Canadian freedom fighters, these protesters, they're good people, but they're normies at the end of the day. And they're not exactly to the level we are in terms of understanding history. And they still equate, you know, the National Socialists or Nazis, as they call them, with the vaccine. Of course, you know, forgetting the fact, you know, they don't know the fact that the National Socialists actually stood up to the vaccine regime of the Weimar Republic, but that's another topic for another day. But they were equating Trudeau's vaccine regime with the Nazis, and then they drew a swastika equating that with the vaccine, and then the Jews spun it around and said, "Oh, these are neo-Nazis that are protesting. Look at their swastika."
Farron Schoaf, who does the alternative media on Saturday morning on RBM, he had, and I might even want to play it, I guess we don't quite have enough time to play it, but he had the absolute best rant, do you want to call it a rant, at the maybe the 15-minute mark of his show, the last few minutes of the first segment. It was epic, and he was calling out Mike Adams of Natural News for saying that that Nazis didn't lose World War II, but actually they just went into hiding and now they've taken over Canada.
Jeez.
Like blaming it on Nazis, right? And he just went into how this isn't Nazis who are in control of our societies, and he I can't remember exactly how it morphed. But he went down the list of, you know, Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Attorney General, Secretary of Homeland Security, President of Pfizer, and just went down this whole long list and said, these aren't Chinese people. They're not Chinese people. Check it. And sometime this week, I am going to play that clip because it needs to be played again, where we don't quite have enough time to play it. Or would you like to hear at least the last minute or two of it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pause.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Okay, let me line it up. It was epic.
See, but I wanted to do this story, and it'll fit here before we come up on the break. You know, what did Tucker lead off with there? Nazis. This is one of the latest stories on naturalnews.com. I'm just going to read the headline. I might read a little bit of it. But this is Mike Adams. It's February 18th. The Nazis weren't defeated. They went underground and now run Canada and the world, pushing eugenics and depopulation agendas aligned with Adolf Hitler. And it just blows my mind. World War II has been over for 77 years. It ended in 1945, when the year 2022. You cannot. If someone had the time or some AI system to fact check this, Alex Jones can't do a show. I don't think he can do an hour of a show without invoking Alex Jones. That dude, Adolf Hitler. It's constantly in your face all the time. Glenn, I'll change my view for a check. Glenn Beck. And I say that because those of us who remember when he was at CNN, it was a totally different Glenn Beck than when he went to Fox News. He changed his whole views on politics for a check. He hated Ron Paul at CNN. He loved him at Fox News. That's just a tiny thing. If you listen to Sean the Paul Hannity, I don't think he can do a three-hour show. He's on 3 to 6 Eastern without having to talk about Nazis and Hitler. It's everywhere you look. And I've got Roku and I watch some of these older shows like The Rockford Files. Oh, they are chasing Nazis. The Waltons had it on the other day. Constant being brought back up. And here, Natural News, the Third Reich never really ended. Although Hitler himself was destroyed, the Nazi regime simply went underground and has now morphed into the global movement of infiltration and influence that now is emerging as globalism. Well, Mr. Adams, I see that nothing more than gatekeeperism. I see that as nothing more than fake propaganda, because Mr. Adams, why don't you write your next article on Natural News, and why don't you tell us what Nazi owns Facebook? What Nazi owns NBC, ABC, CBS, MTV, Disney, Google, the New York Times? Is the CEO of Pfizer, Mr. Borla, is that a Nazi? What about the CDC? What about the Attorney General? What about the Secretary of State? And on, and on, and on. It's these same people, and Tucker Carlson's one too, is always pushing China. China, 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 China. Alex Jones as well. But last time I looked, China didn't own Facebook, NBC, ABC, CBS, MTV, Disney, Google, New York Times. It wasn't the CEO of Pfizer or the CDC or the Attorney General or the Secretary of State. So how about a little semblance of some truth and reality, Mr. Adams?
Yep. Okay. I don't know why.
Spot on.
NBC, CBS, MTV, Disney, Google, New York Times. It wasn't the CEO of Pfizer or the CDC or the Attorney General or the Secretary of State. How about a little semblance of some
truth and reality, Mr. Adams? That was epic. Anyway,
all I'll say is that the old NSDAP plus the new CCP added put together equals a one happy planet.
Okay, that kind of went over my head. But, you know, this is what we face. If people aren't going to talk about Jewish power, and then they're going to be saying all this stuff about China or Nazis or whatever it is, you're going to have bad outcomes. This is why we have such bad outcomes, is nobody's able to do a proper analysis.
Exactly. Always want to sugarcoat it and distract it into something that's nonsensical. And in fact, they want to put the heroes as the villains. And that's the problem. The NSDAP were heroes, and the modern CCP are heroes. And they're classifying the heroes as the villains.
Okay. Well, we are coming up on the break. We will be right back.
Obstirn Todesheit und die Sonne und Saft, den Tag blühen weiß, oder eiskalt die Nacht. Bestaunt sind die Gesichter, doch nur nicht unser Sinn, ja unser Sinn.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
We are back. All right, so you have a song on your mind.
Yes, so, like I said, this episode is dedicated to the North American trucker freedom fighters who are fighting against the liberal tyranny and the degeneracy of the Canadian regime and, yes, the American Empire, too. So, glory to the North American truckers. May your horns be heard all around the world, so everyone around the world knows exactly what's happening. So, with that, this is for you.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Cause we got a little convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a little convoy, it's your beautiful sight. Come on and join our convoy, ain't that gonna get in our way. We gonna roll this trucking convoy across the USA.
You want to back off them hogs? 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a hunting bear.
Cause we got a great big convoy walking through the night. Yeah, we got a great big convoy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy. Ain't never gonna get in our way. We gonna roll this trucking convoy across the USA. Convoy.
You wanna give me a 10-9 on that, Big Ben? Negatory, Big Ben, you're still too close. Yeah, them hogs are starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that Chi-Town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars and tanks and jeeps and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears, and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke, with 1,000 screaming trucks, and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Yeah, rubber duck just sodbuster. Come on, are you out? 10-4, sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite, and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore, prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't going to pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
Cause we got a mighty convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty convoy. Ain't you a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy. Ain't nothing gonna get in our way.
Big Ben, what's your 20? Omaha. Well, they ought to know what to do with them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's the...
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Co-Certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.